And I'm going to read a fairly lengthy section from this, the first 17 verses. And this is what the psalmist was inspired by God to write. And it's interesting that the prayer that the psalmist is inspired to pray is reflected back to God. The Spirit says, this is what you should say, and this is what you should say to me. Psalm 102. Hear my prayer, Lord. Let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I am in distress. Turn your ear to me, and when I call, answer me quickly. For my days vanish like smoke. My bones burn like glowing embers. My heart is blighted and withered like grass. I forget to eat my food. In my distress, I groan aloud and am reduced to skin and bones. I am like a desert owl, like an owl among the ruins. I lie awake. I have become like a bird alone on a roof. All day long, my enemies taunt me. Those who rail against me use my name as a curse. For I eat ashes as my food and mingle my drink with tears because of your great wrath. For you have taken me up and thrown me aside. My days are like the evening shadow. I wither away like grass. But you, Lord, sit enthroned forever. Your renown endures through all generations. You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show favor to her. The appointed time has come. For her stones are dear to your servants, her very dust moves them to pity. The nations will fear the name of the Lord. All the kings of the earth will revere your glory, for the Lord will rebuild Zion and appear in his glory. He will respond to the prayer of the destitute, and he will not despise their plea. These are the words of Psalm 102. And also now I would like to turn to the gospel and read from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. And could I ask that we rise for the reading of the gospel? At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. When I first became a minister, I thought that the word was everything. So I spent all these years studying, learning Greek and Hebrew, and having deep lessons in the interpretation of texts and how to shape that into sermons. And I thought, that is what it is about. And then I became a pastor and I started leading a congregation. I became involved in the life and practice of worship and liturgy. And I began to see that even as the word and the preaching of the word is tremendously important and a significant part of what the congregation does and participates in, that pictures were just as important. I remembered that the title that was given to me by the church was to be Minister of Word and Sacrament. And so I began not only the ministry of the Word among the people of God, I started the ministry of the sacraments, and I started baptizing people. And I experienced taking that water in my hand and watching it cascade onto the head of babies or of adults who were new to the faith, and I saw it really struck me. The beauty of the water, the crystalline character of it. I was just blown away and thought, this water in scriptural biblical context is that which clean, we say this child or this new believer is being washed of sin. But I also saw that it was a terrible image where in the time of Noah, the water was that of destruction. And baptismal water has also that image that we are saved. God takes us through the water and brings us to new life. And powerful images. Like, where would we be without that image? And Lord's Supper, of course, the bread which is so life sustaining and life giving. Where would we be without bread, without food? And the wine, which was just the simple thing everyone ate. It was important in that society and culture because grape juice that had some fermentation also, well, they were pretty sure would not be a vector for disease or bacteria. So it was a safe thing. It was also a life-giving thing for the people to take. And administering the Lord's Supper, I began to see, and I have this unique, as the minister of the congregation, the unique opportunity to hold that bread and to break it in your presence, say, this is the body of Christ given for you, and to pour. You know, you receive it, and that's a joy and a privilege, but it is my privilege to actually pour that, and I've got the best seat in the house. And I see that cascading scarlet fountain, and where would we be without that sight, and where would we be without that taste, and that deep lesson that comes beyond words, that we are a people who are sacramental. So I started to understand how important images and pictures were. And then we continue to read Scripture, and we see that there are all kinds of images, stark images, that are for the blessing, the edification, the learning of us. And just a couple of Sundays ago, we talked about that Sunday, or that day, Maundy Thursday, actually, when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And we heard the story about how Jesus took a towel, wrapped it around himself, and he took a basin, and he filled it with water, and he went from disciple to disciple, being humble before them and serving them. He who was the master said, to be a true master, you must be the true servant. And the basin and the towel become powerful images. Or I was in my own devotions, was reading about in the Old Testament that the scapegoat, where in the camp of Israel, that they were to take a goat, and the priest would lay his hands on that goat, and that goat would bear the sins of the people, and then that goat would be expelled from the camp, and as it was banished, their sin also became banished. And he says, now we can start anew. Now, what a powerful image for we who are the people of God to think that our sins have been banished. And then we talk about the Lamb of God and the sacrificial lamb in Old Testament liturgy, and how that the lamb would be sacrificed and would take away the sins of the people, and Jesus being the the ultimate Lamb of God. These are all powerful images, and we are richer if we pay attention to them. Another powerful image that the Bible has for us is the image of ashes. I did a little study on this, and I found that there were times in Scripture where the ashes represented anger, but almost every time, the vast majority of times that ashes are mentioned in the Scriptures, it is because they represent sorrow and repentance. And there's, of course, the story that comes to mind immediately for me is Job. How Job was a man who seemed to have it all. Everything was good. He had lots of money. He had a great family. He had respect in the community. Everything was good, the devil said to God. Well, Job only worships you because you give him everything. You've made his life so nice. How can he not worship you? And the God says, well, let us test Job. And his wealth was taken from him. His family was taken from him. Even his health was taken from him. And what did he do? He sat in the ashes. Because as his life was falling apart, his grief and his sorrow were represented by these ashes that he surrounded himself with, and he even poured the ashes over himself. Because there's no better way to show sorrow than to use the ashes. And in other stories of Scripture, when people have experienced loss, when someone they love has died, how do they demonstrate their loss, or how do they show to the community that they were in this place of deep sadness, that they would cover themselves in ashes? Well, the text we read from Psalm 102, and it talks about ashes actually in three different ways. And it says that in verse 3, it says, my days vanish like smoke, and my bones burn like glowing embers. And the ashes of life, the ashes of hardship, are not ashes that are external. This is so very internal to us. Psalm 102 is the psalm of a sufferer, but it also is the psalm of someone who knows the brokenness that lies inside. And the ashes that we carry aren't just external, they are internal to us. And it is good to recognize, the psalmist says, recognize that the ashes not only are out there, understand that they are in here. The ashes are us, and we feel the pain that comes from the fire of hardship. It moves on later in the reading to say that ashes are before us, and is a very interesting line in verse chapter 9. It says, my enemies, in verse 8, my enemies taunt me, they use my name as a curse, for I eat ashes as my food and mingle my drink with tears. I mingle my drink with tears. The ashes are before us, that they are indeed our experience. They are what we take because of the brokenness of life. We live in a world, and we live lives that are broken indeed. And we all can say there have been times, and for many of us we can say there are times when what we are experiencing is bitterness, and we have no choice but to eat it. and it is not pleasant. And we know that the ashes, the brokenness of life, is because of sin. Sin maybe that's within us. Sin maybe that is done to us. Sin maybe that is in the environment around us. But the fact is that we are called and forced to eat the ashes. And then it says, it uses the word dust, but the cognate is still the same. In verse 14, it says that the stones are dear to your servants, and her very dust moves them to pity. As the dust is around us, as the ashes surround us, that they move God to pity. God looks at us with the ashes in us and the ashes before us in the environment around us, and what it does in the heart of God is move him to have compassion for us. And we indeed are blessed because we are the people of ashes who are within the sight of the Lord. The reading in Mark was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And I love the image of Jesus going to John, and we know that there's a fuller story in another verses and other parts of the Gospels. We read about Jesus' encounter with John and how Jesus came for baptism, but John didn't want to because I'm not worthy of baptizing you. You must baptize me. For John knew who Jesus was. He knew the mission that Jesus was on. And he says, I must not be the one who administers sacraments to you. I must be the one who receives it from you. But Jesus insisted. And Jesus came to be our representative. We know that Jesus came, was born so that he could walk on this earth, live the life as we do, and do it in a way that we all should have been doing from the beginning. That if Adam and Eve had not fallen into sin, and if not every person since has followed in their tradition of brokenness within themselves, we would be like Jesus, and he showed us the way. He gave that great example. But he's our representative. And as he walked to that river, he who had no sin still submitted to baptism to show that to enter into the new life in Christ, we must be cleansed. He says, look, I'm showing you. This is the example. Follow me into the water and also follow me out of the water to be the servants of God, to live that new life. And that abundant life is what is guaranteed for us. That is the promise, that's the hope, that's the confidence that we have, that being people in the sight of God, being people who have ashes within us, ashes before us, and ashes on us, that we are people who will walk with Jesus into the way, even into the river, and even into service and glory. At the end, going back to Psalm 102 of the reading, it says that the last couple of verses, the Lord will rebuild Zion and appear in his glory. He will respond to the prayer of the destitute. He will not despise their plea. It is our ashes that the Lord takes and gathers up and builds into the stones and the edifice upon which we stand and in which we live. The Lord takes that which is broken and He makes it whole. And isn't that indeed what we are? All these images that I've mentioned, you are the best image that I can point to. Because you are a broken people. We are people who are so far from perfect that every Sunday we gather for worship and we confess our sin. Because, hey, yeah, we did this last week and we did this last year and we did this 10 years ago and here we are still doing the same thing because we still need to. But it is you who are broken who are the vessels that hold the Holy Spirit. And it is you who are broken that are pointing the straight way to Jesus. And you are the gift for the world. Thanks be to God for you. To help us on our journey to be the kind of people that we are called to be, we will together submit to the sign of ashes. To acknowledge our own need for Jesus. To say indeed that we need to be people of humility and confession. But also that we need to be people of hope. For the ashes are imposed on you not just as a blob or a check mark. They are put on you as the cross. Because it is in the cross of Christ that ashes are turned into garlands, and you receive the sign of beauty.